Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Mr. Lobo with us. We'll take calls with him next hour, share some of your favorite movies, if you would. On a technical question, physical media, what's happening there? That's changing the entire digital world, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think that, you know, a lot of people are not trusting a lot of the streaming services and a lot of the things that they're depending on, downloads. I remember a friend of mine had the book 1984 on their Kindle, and one day they went to read their book and it was gone.
Oh.
Because there was a rights dispute of all books, right? And, you know, so I think that sometimes it's good. We were talking earlier about having a DVD or Blu-ray. You know, sometimes it's nice to have that hard copy, that insurance, because, you know, if you've got movies on the cloud or movies on your computer, you know, something happens and they're gone.
And what are they using for physical media? Copper?
Decides you don't need it. What?
They're using copper and glass or something?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what they're as far as what DVDs and Blu-rays are made out of.
And things that they're storing, sure.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I mean, honestly, you know, sometimes I miss videotape. But at least you knew you had it, you know.
Videotape? What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember those
things. Now, when you were working in radio, did you ever have to cut tape with a razor blade?
I sure did. We used to splice it and put it together that way, and put a little piece of tape across it.
Scotch tape. Yeah, we had to do a lot of that stuff too.
Now everything's digital.
For 9 years, and it was all just scotch tape, and I don't know how we did it. You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, digital editing and everything now. It's if you've got. Yeah, if you've got anything, you know, you really should have backups. And I think that's the thing about. I think there is a little bit of a nostalgia and a little bit of a return where people want to have a hard copy of their favorite movies and things. And I think it's smart because with all the weird rights issues where they're changing, re-editing movies. Like, you know, you get Disney Plus and you go and watch your favorite movie and you go, well, wait a second, that movie doesn't go like that. Well, they've censored it or changed it. And, you know, now that's the movie of the version that they've decided everybody is going to see. And that's the only version that they can see. So sometimes it's nice to have that in some sort of fixed form. And I think that's why a lot of people are actually... you know, just like there kind of was a resurgence in people buying books again, I think that people are having that resurgence in people getting their LPs, their vinyl records again. People are getting, you know, there's these tape heads out there collecting VHS again, you know, and I think that people, I think Blu-rays and DVDs are still vibrant.
What's happening in the streaming world? It seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah. We're in the middle of the streaming wars. I think everyone is fighting for everybody's subscription funds. You know, everybody has got their own version. Disney Plus is the big one now. And, of course, they had a huge hit with The Mandalorian, which is the Star Wars television series. And they've decided they're going to do a different, have to have one series, Star Wars series, going at all times, I think. And they're going to do a Marvel series. And, you know, they're going to have to keep having these new talked about series popping up on there so they can get people to subscribe, because the second The Mandalorian ended, I think, like, you know, thousands of people just dropped their subscriptions because they were done watching the show.
That's right.
So they're, and I think all of the major studios, I think, are going to have their own version where they're going to take their library of films. And the only way you can see those films is if you pay your $7 a month or your $10 a month. They're all trying to get a piece of what Netflix started. And you know, and there's a ton of them in Amazon and everyone else. So there's definitely, like I said, there's a war going on, a war for your attention, a war for your subscription rates. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what programs end up where. I mean, CBS has Star Trek locked up. If you want to see the new Star Trek, you have to subscribe to theirs. You know, so it's an interesting situation where you've got Hulu and Amazon and Netflix and all the major studios trying to volley with their own streaming services.
Well, what would you like to do? You know, pay $7 a month and be able to stream and watch as many programs as you could, or go to a movie for one $7 movie? I mean, it's dramatic.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and I wish they were still $7. I think I've gone to a few $14 movies
Wow.
here and there. So, yeah, $11, $14 just to go to a movie, that definitely is a lot more,
one movie.
Cost to fix is $16 in California. But, you know, I do like going to the movies, though. That's the thing, is though, even though I enjoy watching films at home, seeing a theater projected on a screen cinematically, and certain movies only work cinematically, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean, that movie doesn't work on TV. You really have to drink it in on a giant screen, or no sale, in my opinion. So I think some things are good for the big screen, and that experience of seeing it communally in a theater is something I hope never fully goes away. But, you know, last year more people went to public libraries than cinemas. So, you know, we're in the Wild West. Who knows what's coming next?
Then again, you have movies that stream like The Irishman that last 3 hours and 30 minutes. Who wants to go to a movie to see that? I'd rather watch that at home, stop it, do whatever you do, and
back. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a bladder that robust. You know, I can't take a 3 hour movie. That's way, you know, I wish they'd go back to having intermissions where they let you stretch your legs in the middle, you know.
They used to do that in the old days.
Absolutely.
How long were the movies in the old days, the Dean Martin movies and things like that?
Oh, you know, a lot of times they would do like a 65-minute movie, a 70-minute movie, because they were usually double features for a while. And, you know, they would have a cartoon and a newsreel and the Flash Gordon serial,
yeah,
and everything, you know, else. When you went to the movies, you got a lot more than a movie.
It was an event.
It was an event, and you know, it was your news, it was your entertainment, it was a lot of things for people, and so there was a lot of things happening, a lot of ballyhoo, a lot of, you know, people were saving, they had weird giveaways where they gave away dishes and toys and things at the movie theater, and you know, I think that I wish theaters could be that kind of communal space where people could go there and really feel like they're part of something and part of their communities. You know, I think now it's just sort of like they're just trying to squeeze us for every last cent and making it more and more and more impersonal. And you've got your $9 bucket of popcorn and your, you know, $16 in the door, and you know, that's no fun. You know, I think that the part of what made the movies great was how accessible they were. The admission was cheap. You could get in there, and you know, you bring the whole family, and you could all enjoy something together.
And if you liked popcorn, it was great.
and I love popcorn. I could eat popcorn every day. You know, when I worked at a movie theater, I had popcorn with mustard. I had popcorn with honey. I think I had popcorn with every condiment we had at the snack bar. That was my breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I kind of like putting Parmesan cheese on it, sprinkling
it.
Oh,
man.
And letting it
garlic powder? You ever do garlic powder?
I have not done that.
Oh, it's pretty good.
That's why we keep you on the radio, Mr. Lobo, and not in the studio.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
What's new in the world of television?
Well, you know, like I said, I think a lot of these streaming shows are, you know, I think TV is doing a lot better than movies are. You know, like we just talked about The Mandalorian, you know, that was more successful than the last Star Wars movie, you know.
That's amazing.
You know, I think that, you know, we have a lot of horror series, you know, happening right now. There was a really good series called Mindhunter. You ever heard of that?
I have.
Series?
I never saw it.
Fantastic. I think that they stopped a while so that they could make more of it, and they want to keep the quality up. So I don't think they're going to start right back up right away. I think they're going to be in production for a while. But what an incredible show.
Remember in the early days of television, and we talked about this over several past shows, they would always have some ghoulish host at these cities, you know, introducing movies and stuff, like my buddy Morgus and people like that.
Oh, yes.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, I do that.
Well, you're a rarity.
I'm a rarity, but I do spook shows, you know, at the Colonial Theater last year. We showed Daughter of Horror. You know, we did all the ballyhoo. We had women in, we had unregistered nurses handing out life insurance policies.
Just in case.
All that crazy William Castle kind of stuff. And, you know, we had puppeteers and sideshow people on stage, and we show a movie, and we had ghosts roaming through the audience and touching people on their shoulder and sitting next to them and eating their popcorn. And so, you know, I mean, people do it. You know, even if something isn't popular, it doesn't mean it isn't done. You know, and there are people, you know, keepers of the flame who are in their own local communities doing their own fun things at the very few remaining independent movie theaters that exist.
Did you sell out?
We
did. How'd you do?
This is our second year in a row.
That's great.
We did Daughter of Horror and sold out both times. So, you know, that's an interesting thing. Then when people know that they're going to get something more, if they get the word that, oh, this is going to be special and there's going to be audience participation and we're going to get more than just a movie, they'll come. They'll come. It's just getting the word out. That's the hardest part.
What is it about horror films that people like to be scared?
Well, you know, I think it's a simple analogy, but I think that, you know, there are two kinds of roller coasters, right? A roller coaster where you get on, and then once you get off of it, you're like, okay, I'm never getting on that again. And then there's the other roller coaster where you get on, and you immediately want to get back on it again and get back on it again. And I do think, you know, there is something to that, a thrill. But safety, you know, you are delivered back home safely after you've been through this. And I feel you feel like you've overcome something. And it's, you know, we might not be able to overcome things in our real lives, but we can escape the Wolfman, and we can escape Dracula, and we can escape the Blob. And it's kind of fun. And it makes that, I think, the adversities of our real life a lot easier to deal with.
Do people sometimes you know, still have these nightmares watching these horror flicks and TV shows, and then they go to bed and everything breaks loose?
Yeah, it still does. It, you know, it is interesting, the magic of it, where you know, someone will see a movie and then they'll go home and they'll have nightmares for a week. So that does happen. And it is really funny, too, when you see grown men and I don't want to be sexist, but a grown adults will say, I'm the MC of Blobfest every year, and we're showing the Blob. This is a 60 year plus year old movie, right? And there'll be grown adults who are like, I'm still afraid of the blob. I still have nightmares about the blob. And, or, you know, with Jaws, I'm sure it's the same thing. I'm still afraid to go into the water, you know?
Yeah.
I'm still
afraid
that Norman Bates is going to stab me in the shower.
Or putting your hand over the side of the bed.
A lot of it is real personal. I think it has a lot more to do with us personally and what our personal real fears are, that these movies kind of become iconic and symbolize these fears that we have. If you're not afraid of sharks, Jaws isn't going to do anything to you, you know. I think it is really interesting that it the movies we're scared of say a lot more about us than they do about the movies.
But they're still fun, aren't they?
I think fun's really important, and I think fantasy is really important. I mean, sci-fi and horror are really subgenres of fantasy. You know, I think that if it's just murders, that's crime. It's a totally different genre. I think there has to be something fantastic, something unexplainable, something that's just a little bit beyond our grasp that puts it into a different category. You know, I think if it's too pedestrian, it's just murders. You know, I think that in my opinion, the best horror movies have some kind of imaginary or fantastic aspect of them.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.